Our Father and our King, this morning as we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, Father, we declare that you're great in power, that you're great in wonder. Thank you for bringing us together this morning as your church. Thank you for bringing us through from January till this point. Lord, we appreciate you. We love you. Lord, we ask that even as we remember you today, that you remind us of the great sacrifice that Jesus paid, that we might have life everlasting. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Please, let's be seated for a moment. All right, good morning, everybody. For those who, this is your first time, my name is Pastor Benson. I'm the pastor of this church. We're a church based out of London called Christ Faith Tabernacle, but the short form is CFT, so welcome. All right, so today we're going to be looking at something slightly different. We've been looking at a series that I called Surely There Is More to Your Life Than This. Surely There's More to Your Life Than This. We started that at the beginning of the month. But I'm just going to deviate a bit today, today being Easter, so we can focus on Christ specifically and what he did for us at the cross and why we celebrate at this time the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. So the title of what I'm going to be looking at today is what I've called, Would You Die for a Thief? Would you die for a thief? That's what I'm going to be looking at today. You know, we're looking at the subject of dying for a thief. Or let's even look at the subject of love as well. I'm sure if someone came in, well, let me not say I'm sure. Can you imagine if, as we're sat here, a couple of men just broke in with masks and AK-47s, and they now go to each and every person that is sitting down here, and they go to you, and they say, if you say yes, we'll let you live, but we'll kill the person who's stood next to you. But you have the choice. And they said, the choice is this. Sorry, I'm just, it's like, this is my first time. Why is he using me as an example? Don't worry about that. Just making an analogy here. So gunmen are here. They point the gun to you and say yes, we'll let you go, but we'll kill her. But say no, and we'll let you live. No, we'll let her live, but we'll kill you. At that point, what would you do? Would you say, oh my goodness, we've been friends for such a long time, but I'm not quite sure I want to do that. Let's take another example, right? Say someone comes and my daughter is by my side and they're like, hey, Pastor Benson, you have a choice here. We either kill you or we kill your daughter who stood next to you. Pick one. What would I do? What would I do? What would you do? Would you gladly say, no problem, just take me away and let my daughter, my husband, or my friend? Or would you say, let me think about it? So we're talking about someone who's like really close to you. I'm talking about my daughter who's like really close to me, or my son. We're talking about your friend who you've known. So you would probably consider it. You'd be like, man, let me think about it. But how about if that person that was stood beside you was someone who you didn't know, someone who had been like incredibly mean and aggressive towards you, someone who actually even hated you as well? Would you even consider dying for that kind of person? For your friend, for your family member, you'd have a think about it. But for someone who you don't know, who hates you, who has said a lot of terrible things about you to your face, would you die for that person? I think the answer for a lot of us might be, if we're really honest, of course not. Of course not. Why would I do that? I'm going to read a portion of scripture this morning, Matthew chapter 27, verses 41 to 44. Matthew chapter 27, verses 41 to 44. So this is looking at Jesus on the cross. Now, Jesus had been flogged, he had been wrongly accused, and he had been sentenced to death. And in those days, the cross was a horrible kind of death. Can you imagine? You've been bitten, you're bleeding, you've been flogged, your veins are exposed, and you're naked, and they put you on the floor, nail you to a cross. Put the nail here and here like this. Put another nail, put your legs together and put a nail there. Raise you up onto the cross. And the thing about the death on the cross was this. If you bore your weight on your hands, because, you know, if you bore your weight on your hands like this, it will suffocate you. So what those who were on the cross did to keep themselves alive was they would raise up their legs so that their lungs wouldn't be crushed. So it was like up and down, up and down, up and down, till finally they gave up the ghost. It was a horrific death. They say some people will be on the cross for 12 hours in agony. Can you imagine that? 12 whole hours, hands nailed to the cross, your lungs are suffocated because your bones are crushing your lungs and you're just going up and down. Horrible death. Jesus was on the cross, wrongly accused, and he was about to die for humanity. So, let me read Matthew chapter 27, verses 41 to 44. Likewise, the chief priest also, mocking with the scribes and elders, said, "He saved others, himself he cannot save. If he is the King of Jews, let him come down from the cross. We will believe him. He trusted God. Let him deliver himself now, if he will. For he said, 'I am the Son of God.'" Now, even the robbers who were crucified with him reviled him with the same thing. So Jesus was on the cross. Do you understand? And there was someone who was on the cross to his left, the cross to the right. And whilst Jesus was hanging on the cross, these guys were hanging on the cross as well. Do you understand? And they were raining abuses at Jesus as well. I mean, come on. You're suffering. Why don't you just concentrate on your own suffering? They turned to Jesus and they were raining abuses at him as well. Can you beat that? But Jesus now does something quite interesting. If you read on through that chapter, it got to the point that one of the thieves that was, I don't know if it was the one on the left or on the right, calmed down and he turned to Jesus. And he said to Jesus, "Remember me when you go to your kingdom." He told Jesus, this was someone who had just rained abuses as Jesus. Jesus was suffering, everybody was raining abuses at him at the verge of death. This man now turns to Jesus, this thief, and says, "Jesus, remember me when you go into your kingdom." And Jesus said, "Today you will be with me in heaven. Today you'll be with me in heaven." So the question now is this. Why would Jesus go through all that? Die for humanity, then even the guy that's beside him, that's abusing him, changes his mind and says, "Jesus, remember me." And Jesus didn't say, "Get away, you know, don't talk to me, you've been saying all sorts of..." Jesus said, "No problem, today you will be with me in heaven. So I guess the question now is this. Why would Jesus do that? Why? Definitely it's not something I think I would have done. I'd probably, I'd be like, look, don't even talk to me. I have my own problems, man, Mr. Why would Jesus do that? But before we look at why Jesus did that, the other point I want to make this morning is this. Jesus had a choice with regards to whether to go to the cross or not. He wasn't forced to go to the cross. In fact, at one point, Jesus was deliberating. And what he was deliberating about in his mind, and I'll read, was, man, do I really have to do this? Do I really have to die for humanity? Is there another way? Is there another way? Is there another way? So Jesus was looking at the horrible death that he was going to die and what he was going to pass through. So Matthew chapter 26, 39 says, going a little further, he fell with his face to the ground. This is Jesus. And he prayed, my Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will. So we see as a second point here, a scenario where Jesus has a choice whether to go to the cross or not. He has the choice whether to die or not to die. So you're stood there, or I'm stood there, and someone comes with a gun, and my daughter is beside me, and they say, choose your life or your daughter's life. Do you understand? That's a bit different, because then someone is putting you on the spot. Do you understand? Someone is putting you on, and that one you're like, oh my goodness, what choice am I going to make? But Jesus was not put on the spot, actually. Jesus could have just said, look, I'm not doing this. Let humanity sort itself out. So Jesus was not put on the spot at all. There was no gun to his head, as I mentioned using the example at the beginning. He could have just declined. You understand? So I guess the question now this morning is this. Why would Jesus go through such a horrible death? Why would Jesus choose voluntarily to die for humanity as a sacrifice? Why would Jesus endure insults from a thief and still die for that thief? Why would Jesus die for someone who has absolutely no interest in him? Why would Jesus die for people who abuse him, use his name as a swear word? Why would Jesus die for someone, you know, folks like that? Why would Jesus die for me? Why would Jesus die for you? What's the big deal? Could it be that Jesus saw something that these folks were not seeing? Could it be that Jesus saw things that you and I didn't see initially? I believe so. So we'll look at a number of things that Jesus saw that made it worth his while. We'll look at a number of things that Jesus said, look, this is a painful death that I'm going to go through, but I will still do it anyway. So the first thing we see here is this. Why did Jesus do what he did? Well, the first thing is in John 3:16. John 3:16. And I'll read. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. John 3:16. So the first thing that motivated Jesus to endure all the pain, to endure all the suffering, to endure all the insults that were hurled at him, to endure everything that he did, primarily was because he loves you and I. He loves humanity. He loved the thief. He loved everyone that hates him and uses his name for a swear word. He loves people who don't even have time for him. People who have said, look, this Jesus guy you're talking about, I mean, how can you be so silly? You believe that someone died 2,000 years ago and, you know, he can, you know, I mean, this is just, are you educated? Does it make sense to you? But Jesus still died for each and every one of us because he loves us. Because he loves us. So this morning we're reflecting on why we celebrate Easter. Well, why we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. So the first thing, Jesus died for you and I, and for that thief, and for every single one, because he loves us. He loves you and I, irrespective of whether you deserve it or not. Number one. The second thing I want to look at this morning is that why did Jesus do what he did? Hebrews chapter 2, verse 15. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 15. And I'll read. And he says, paraphrasing, the other reason why Jesus came was to free those who all through their lives were held in slavery by the fear of death. I'll read that again. To free those who were all their lives held in slavery by the fear of death. What do I mean by that? The question I'm going to ask this morning is this. And I ask this question all the time. When you die, I'm not saying I want anybody to die here. When you die, which all of us will, maybe you might live up to 100, 80, 120 if you want to go that far. But when you die, what's going to happen to you next? Do you really know? You know, I've met people who said, nothing's going to happen to me. That's the end of the world. Really? Is that what you mean? And I was traveling once on a plane, and there was, heavy turbulence in the air. And as we're in that plane, the plane just dropped. It must have dropped for about 10 seconds. I don't know if you guys have been on a plane that's dropped like that. The plane just dropped, and everybody was like, oh! It wasn't funny. I'm just laughing now. It was terrifying. At that point, I looked around, and all those people that were saying, this Jesus thing, they just started saying, oh God, what are you talking about? Boy, I thought him. Oh God, which God are you talking about exactly? The one you said, nothing will happen. I'm just going to turn to dust. Really? Huh? Is that it? So the Bible says something here. The second thing that I'm looking at this morning, why Jesus died for you and I, was to deliver us from the fear of death. I gave someone an example. I was in the city center once, and I was talking to someone. We had our stall there. And I gave them an analogy. They were like, why are you saying that Christianity or faith in Christ is the only way? How about Buddhism? How about this? How about that? I said, no problem. Let's have the conversation. I now said, for example, if I call Vicky, have you been to the Bahamas before? Rhetorical question. I want to go on holiday to the Bahamas, right? I call Vicky. I'm like, Vicky, tell me about the Bahamas. What's it really like? And she begins to tell me, oh, it's the sunshine, there's, you know, the food is really good, and all that, and all that. And I ask her the question, have you been to the Bahamas before? And she goes, no, I only read about it. All right? Stay with me. I'm like, okay, that's good. Then I go to our chief executive here, and I'm like, you look like you've been to the Bahamas, man. Tell me about the Bahamas. She now says, when you get the water is a bit warm, if you dip your toe in the water in the beach, you know, the lobster, the fish, you know, has to be. And I ask her, so have you been there really? And she said, yeah, I was there last week. Right? Now tell me, where would you, I was gonna say, where would you place your bet, but we don't bet. Whose account would you really believe in these two instances if you had to spend your life savings? Vicky? Or our chief executive? Who would you believe based on facts? I would believe our chief executive. Why? Why? She's been there. She has been there. So I now told this individual, I said, for every religion, Buddhism, Islam, and every other thing, none of them, I'm not knocking anybody, you know, everybody can believe what they want, but I'm looking at reality here. None of the people who started those things have ever come back after they died to say this is what it looks like when you die. But Easter tells us, or the Bible tells us, that Jesus died, he was physically killed, buried, and he rose again. His disciples saw him. He was seen by over 500 people. So Jesus is like the chief executive who actually has been to the afterlife, if I use that term, to the afterlife. And he returned. So who would you believe? Would you believe someone who's telling you from a book saying there's reincarnation? I mean, that's, if I were to look at it logically, I don't think I would stake my life on that. Particularly if you're in a plane that's turbulencing. I wouldn't stake my life on that, actually. So the second point I'm making this morning is this. Hebrews chapter 2 verse 15. One of the things that Jesus came to do was to deliver us from the fear of death. Why? Because Jesus knows what happens after death. He has proven it by rising from the dead. So if Jesus says this is what it looks like when you die, this is what happens when you die, then I think I'll believe Jesus above any other person. Why? There's proof. So when you're in the plane and the thing is going like this, not that I say you should be in a plane that's got turbulence, you might be a bit uncomfortable, but you're cool because you know that if I die now, Jesus said that I will be with him. So it takes away the fear of death from me. So that you and I know what happens when we check out of this world. He says we will be with him. Do you understand? Because he rose from the dead. So that's the second thing. The third thing that we'll look at this morning is this. Colossians chapter 1 verse 13. Colossians chapter 1 verse 13 said, he rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of his dear son. So that thing we see here is this, that Jesus died to remove us from the influence of the power of the devil. Do you understand? To remove us from the power, from the influence of the power of the devil. So what that means is this. The devil has no dominion over you. So if anyone wants to cast a spell on you, for example, as a Christian, non grata. So the devil really cannot terrorize you. Why? Because Jesus has brought you away from under that. Two more things, then we'll pray. The fourth thing as well that Jesus has done for us is in Revelations chapter 20, verses 1 to 15. Revelations chapter 20, verses 1 to 15. And in that portion of scripture, the Bible tells us that a day is coming that every single one of us will stand before God himself. And God will ask you, how have you lived your life? Have you been 100%? Have you kept all the commandments? And the answer to every individual, that the answer that every individual will give, of course not. Of course not. And they might even say, my neighbor annoyed me this morning and I just, I almost swore at them. Or my neighbor annoyed, So there is no way we can reach perfection at all, even if we tried to. But Jesus now says, look, I have paid the price for perfection so that if you believe in me, you don't have to pay for your sins. And my daughter and I went to court one day. We wanted to see in the city center. She wanted to see like a scenario, like a court scenario and all that. So I went with her. So imagine this. This was a minor offenses court. They didn't do anything heavy there. But imagine a scenario where someone goes to Sainsbury's. And I'm not recommending this, by the way. Goes to Sainsbury's, looks left, looks right, no one is looking. And he's like, man, I like those sneakers. Puts the sneakers and just puts them out, just pretends that no one is looking. And that person has been CCTV'd. And as the person gets home, gets a knock on the door from the bobbies. You guys know what bobby is? Okay, that's old English. Cops. You know what a bobby is? Gets a knock. The bobby says, excuse me. Were you at Sainsbury's early this morning? Like, Sainsbury's? No way. I don't even know where Sainsbury's is. No problem, sir. Could you please escort us to the station? Why? Please we'll escort you to the station. And they take that individual to court. And the judge says, this is the CT. You guys know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about. Yeah, that camera thing. And the judge says, Mr. X, for example, this is the evidence against you, and the consequence is 5 years in jail. Do you get what I mean? You're guilty. Jesus now walks into that courtroom, and he says, look, this man is guilty of this sin. Of this offense. Instead of this man going to jail, I will take his place. Let me serve the 5 years for this man so that this man can go free. So that way, justice is served. What would that individual do? I would have said, if it was you, or if it were you, what would you do? Boy, but like, Pastor Benson, I'm not going to nick anything in Sainsbury. Just hypothetically, if it was you, what would you do? Would you say, no, I'm going to do the 5 years and eat, what they eat in prison? If it's a British prison. I'm going to eat baked beans in prison for 5 years. You said beans. How do you know it's beans they eat in prison? You seen it on TV. And he said it with such a straight face, like, Pastor Benson, don't you know it's beans they eat in prison? You should know, Pastor Benson. You guys are laughing. So, If it was you, would you say, no, I'm going to serve my 5 years, eat beans in the morning, be myself 23 hours a day. I can't do anything. I can't go to the shops anymore. I can't see my mom, my dad. I'm going to do my 5 years straight. Jesus, please, let me do my time. And you're like, man, that person's like not really sensible. Or that person's like, man, why would you do that? You know, why would you do that? But do you know that that's what a lot of people do? On the last day, the Bible tells us in Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 to 15. Let me read. It says, then I saw a great white throne and him who was seated on it. The earth and the heavens fled from his presence, and there was no place for them. I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and the books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. The dead were judged according to what they had done as recorded in the books. The sea gave up the dead that was in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead that were in them. And each person was judged according to what they had done. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. The lake of fire is the second death. And anyone whose name was not found in the book of life was thrown in the lake of fire. So this portion of scripture, although really gruesome, it says on that last day, there is going to be a judgment. And God will be there. And there will be CCTV in 3D. And he'd be like, these are the things you did. The evidence is stacked against you. And this time, it is not 5 years. It is the lake of fire forever and ever. You might say, that's a really harsh judgment. Apparently, it is. But remember that Jesus, in John 3:16, he died. And one of the reasons he died for us is this. So that Jesus is standing right by your side. All right? And Jesus is saying, look, are you going to let me take your place? Or are you going to serve your term yourself? And do you know what a lot of people are doing? Rubbish! I'm going to serve my term. Nonsense. Jesus, let me serve my term. Do you really want to serve that term? If you don't have to. Do you understand what I'm saying? So I'll make one more point. So the last point, so the fourth point I'm making is this. Jesus endured the shame. He endured the suffering. He endured people throwing abuses at him. He endured the pain of the cross. He endured the suffering. Why? Because he knew that, look, if I just endure this pain and this suffering for now, it's worth it. It's worth it that Pastor Benson will not have to face this judgment. It's worth it that everyone in Bristol won't have to face this judgment. It's worth it that you won't have to face this judgment. It's worth it that you can have life. Do you understand? This is why we celebrate during Easter. It's not just a time that we eat, what's that thing, that Easter eggs. It's not a time that you just invite Pastor Benson to your house and say, Pastor, I've done like roasted chicken, potatoes and all these things. If you invite me, I'll come, by the way. Are you laughing? I just had to put that out there so we're clear that it's not just because of that. Jesus has done really, really serious things for us. And the last one, and we'll pray. So I've looked at four things why Jesus endured all the suffering. One, because he loves us. Two, to deliver us from the fear of death. Three, to deliver us from the power of the devil. Four, to keep us from being judged on the last day as we accept his substitutory death for us. And the fifth and final point is in John chapter 14, verse 27. John chapter 14, verse 27 says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your heart be troubled and do not be afraid. So the final thing that Jesus now, well, the fifth thing, there are so many other things. Having done all these things for us, not wanting us to be judged and go to hell, all these things, Jesus now adds something to it. In John chapter 14, verse 27, he says, look, I have come to give you peace. He now qualifies it. He says, it is not the kind of peace that you can get in this world. It's a supernatural kind of peace. You know, I was reading an article about suicide, the increase in mental health and suicide rates amongst young people in America. So this individual was saying that, how can it be, or why is it that now that the world has progressed so technologically. In America, America has progressed. They don't have food. They don't have poverty per se as it had been in the past. So it seemed like things have become slightly more convenient. But this guy now said that the rate of suicide amongst mostly young people and some adults has increased drastically. There was this man, this one just comes to my mind used to come to my mind all the time. So there was this guy, this rock band, years and years ago. And this guy lived in LA. He had sold millions of records. In quote, he was living the life. He had so much money, everybody, he had adoring fans and all that. And they didn't hear from this guy for days. And they're like, what happened to the, you know, they finally go to his apartment in LA, open the door, and they found him with a shotgun and a note, dead. And he wrote there, I don't remember exactly what he wrote, but paraphrasing, my life, there's no point in my life. I can't carry on. And people were wondering, this individual, he was living the life that every young person wanted to live. He was in his 20s. Man, this guy could sing properly. Amen. This guy could sing. But he ended it all. Now, I'm not simplifying it. I don't know what, he could have been going through a lot. So on and so forth. Do you understand? But what I'm saying is that Jesus qualified this kind of peace that he gives. And the peace that he mentioned was the peace that being a social media influencer with 20 million followers and £2 million a month can't give you. Being, you know, having the life of your dreams, that can't give you the peace that Jesus is talking about. Do you understand? So Jesus qualifies it and he says that every individual will go through life and life will give you some interesting challenges, some more than others. And at that point, there's something that will get you through that time. The peace of Jesus. And he says, I offer you the supernatural peace as well. So that, like this young man, you can bear life. Do you understand? I'm going to end there this morning. But what I want us to leave today with is a reflection of what Jesus actually did for us. And not to take it for granted. And if you're not quite sure how that applies to you, like, Pastor Benson, what are you talking about? It's very simple. The Bible says in John 3:16, Jesus has walked into the courtroom of your life. And the Bible tells us in Revelation that he is knocking at the door of your heart. And he's saying to you this morning, if you're wondering, let me take your place. Let me give you peace. Let me bring you out of the dominion of darkness let me do this for you. And the answer he's waiting for you to respond is yes. That's all. He's saying, let me take your place this morning. Let me give you my peace. But Jesus is a gentleman. He's not going to force issues. He would want you to respond out of your heart. But if you already know Jesus, what's Jesus asking of you this morning? I believe two things. That we do not take what he has done for granted. All right? And that we also tell other people that Jesus wants to take your place. Amen. So this morning, I'm going to ask that we all rise for a brief moment. So this morning, we're just going to pray, and I'd just like each person that's here to reflect. I've said a lot this morning, and I'd just like each of us to reflect, and it's like, where are you with Jesus? Are you at a point where you've not even accepted that Jesus wants to take your place? You haven't said yes to him yet. It's a personal thing. You can have that conversation. And if you're here and you're like, yeah, I know Jesus, why don't you reflect and make a stronger commitment to Jesus this morning and say, Jesus, thank you for all that you've done. Help me to propagate the gospel. Help me to tell people about the fact that you have paid the price already. So it's a reflective time. I'm just going to leave us to reflect and just take time out to pray. Then I'll pray for us this morning. Our Father and our King, we thank you for all that you're doing in our lives. Father, we thank you that you sent Jesus to die for our sins so that we won't have to pay the price, so that we'll not face the judgment on the last day, that we will experience a life that is devoid of fear of death, that we'll experience your peace. Father, this morning I commit everyone that is here into your hands. And even those that will listen to this message on our website or thereabouts. Holy Spirit, that you will bring conviction to the hearts of the people. The Bible says that you're the one that really speaks to the heart of everyone. Speak to the heart of everyone that will hear this message. Bring them to the point where they say yes, or the point where they understand that you're waiting for them to say yes. Father, I commit everyone who is here, for those who are tired, so for those who are weary, for those who are just really having a hard time, I'm asking, oh God, that the peace that you mentioned in John chapter 14, 27, that peace will come upon them in the name of Jesus. For everyone who is weary, for everyone who is tired, I speak peace concerning you in the name of Jesus. For everyone who is unwell, the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, that by his stripes you have been healed. So there's someone who has like a muscular pain, kind of like around, kind of like your left, under your left leg somewhere. Father, I speak healing to that person in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Please, let's be seated for a moment.